It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
This is what war looks like in all of its horror. The New York Times featured it prominently on their homepage all day Sunday, and it's printed above the fold Monday on page A1 of the paper of record. It's a photograph of a mother and her two children lying dead on the ground while a Ukrainian soldier tries to save the man traveling with them. He later died. Cliff Levy, the New York Times deputy managing editor, called the paper's front page one of the most important of the war. New York Times diplomatic correspondent Edward Wong wrote on Twitter that the New York Times editors have made an important decision to put the photo by Lindsay Addario on the homepage. Again, he wrote, Russian forces fired mortar shells at hundreds of Ukrainian civilians as they fled. A mother and her two children were killed here. This is happening across Ukraine. Many residents tried to flee after a ceasefire was allegedly called to allow them to escape through these green corridors. The problem is that all of these so-called green corridors would lead to Russia itself or to Belarus, its ally. A spokesperson for Ukrainian President Zelensky called the move a completely immoral stunt by Moscow to use people's suffering to create a television picture as propaganda. Russia's announcement of another so-called humanitarian corridor came after 2 days over the weekend in which ceasefires failed to hold long enough to allow the escape of some of the hundreds of thousands of people trapped in the besieged city of Mariupol without food or water. The United Nations Refugee Agency said 1.5 million people had fled Ukraine since Russia invaded 10 days ago. According to the UN, at least 364 civilians have been killed, 759 injured since attacks began on February 24th. U.S. officials are now joining the cries, saying they have seen credible reports of Russia intentionally attacking civilians and are documenting those actions. Now, although U.S. officials generally agree that Americans should not engage in boots-on-the-ground fighting, many in Congress are expressing support for the transfer of fighter jets to Ukraine from former Warsaw Pact countries, including Poland. Senators Rob Portman and Jean Shaheen sent a letter to the administration asking President Biden to negotiate a deal in which any older planes transferred to Ukraine from Eastern European countries would be replaced with American fighter jets. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Sunday that he's already working on the deal. Now, despite media and internet blackouts and strict guidelines surrounding what reporters can and can't say in Russia about the fighting, many Russians are somehow getting around the propaganda and are taking to the streets in protest. Reuters reporting the police in Russia detained at least 4,300 people at anti-war protests across Russia on Sunday alone. About 1,700 of them were arrested in Moscow. Videos posted on social media showed thousands of protesters in different cities angry about Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Demonstrators chanting, "No to war," and "Shame on you," among others. One of the dozens of protesters arrested in the Ural city of Yekaterinburg was shown being beaten by police. One of the consequences of this war is another rise in oil prices. Oil prices have now soared to their highest level in 13 years, raising fears about a bigger spike in inflation that could further damage the global economy. According to Secretary of State Antony Blinken, this surge is due to delays in the potential return of Iranian crude to the global markets and as the U.S. and European allies consider banning Russian oil imports. If Russia's oil exports are cut off, experts say it would put more strain on an already tight oil market, resulting in even higher gas prices across the country. The average price for a gallon of regular gas in the U.S. hit $4 on Sunday, the highest level since 2008. There are now 18 states plus Washington, D.C., where the price of gas is $4 a gallon or higher. The highest prices are being seen in California, where the statewide average stands at $5.29 a gallon. So what do you do when gas is that expensive? Well, if you're one of these truckers, you waste it. Yeah, a bunch of idiot truckers burning expensive fuel on the so-called People's Convoy of dozens of trucks with some minivans and other vehicles that on Sunday encircled Washington, D.C. and disrupted traffic flow. Why? To protest government coronavirus pandemic policies. Really? The organizers of the convoy, which was inspired by a protest that blocked the streets in Ottawa, Canada for 3 weeks, planned to have participants stay close together to slow down traffic as they did two laps around the Capitol Beltway before returning to a staging area in Maryland. But by the second lap on Sunday, the vehicles were spread so far apart that it reduced their effectiveness. So that's happening. Vice President Kamala Harris on Sunday marked the 57th anniversary of Bloody Sunday by walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, and urging Congress to pass federal voting rights legislation. Harris said the legislation is necessary to counter un-American voter registration laws approved in Republican-led states. Bloody Sunday, of course, was the day in 1965 where 600 people started a peaceful march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, to protest discrimination in voter registration. They were subsequently attacked by state and local lawmen with billy clubs and tear gas. 17 people were hospitalized after the clash, which marked a key moment in the civil rights movement. And I'm still wondering when that bridge is going to be renamed for the late Congressman John Lewis. Just asking. From the Here We Go Again files, government funding runs out Friday night, so Congress is again scrambling to pass an omnibus spending package, now made a bit larger, as it must also include aid for Ukraine, Russian oil, energy imports, and COVID relief. House Democrats plan to file the omnibus late Monday night or Tuesday and vote on the measure as soon as Wednesday, because the House is recessing Wednesday because of the Democratic retreat coming up next weekend. The Republicans are meeting too, so it's not all on the Democrats, but this is crazy. Already, House Democrats plan to introduce a massive spending bill. The bill includes roughly $10 billion to help bolster Ukraine, but also tax on about $22.5 billion in coronavirus relief money that Republicans, of course, widely oppose. Again, the pressure is on to pass this deal before Friday when the government funding expires. If a broad funding package doesn't move quickly, they will once again be forced to pass another short-term stopgap funding measure to avoid another shutdown. The official global death toll from COVID-19 now passed the 6 million mark on Monday as the pandemic enters its third year. And a reminder, it's not over. You can and still should take precautions. And a couple of Florida stories to close out what's news for today. Senator Marco Rubio is usually missing in action, but now we learn when he does show up, he screws up. Now Rubio is defending tweeting out a photo from an online meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, dismissing complaints that participants were asked not to post anything on social media out of concern for Zelensky's safety. Rubio said he posted it before being told not to, and no, he still hasn't taken it down. For those who think, the former guy would have been better to deal with Putin in this scenario, think again. In a speech to elite Republican donors over the weekend, the former guy said the U.S. could, quote, put the Chinese flag on fighter jets, then use them to, quote, bomb the shit out of Russia. I'll just leave that there. And finally, we are now entering the final week of the horrific 2022 Florida legislative season. Students are mobilizing Monday as the Florida Senate votes on the Don't Say Gay bill. This bill would prohibit classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity in Florida's primary schools. While defending the legislation, the governor's press secretary, Christina Pshaw, said, quote, if you're against the anti-grooming bill, you are probably a groomer, or at least you don't denounce the grooming of 4 to 8-year-old children. Silence is complicity. This is how it works, Democrats, and I didn't make the rules, end quote. Are you kidding me? The bill provides parents the opportunity to sue if a school district withholds certain information from them about their child's well-being or if their child is exposed to instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity deemed not age appropriate. Florida, indeed. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.